Hey guys, this episode of Sports Spectrum is brought to you by our friends at Water Mission, a Christian engineering nonprofit committed to providing clean and safe water and, most importantly, God's love to people around the world. You can get involved today and learn more by going to watermission.org/join the team. watermission.org/join the team. I'm telling you, you won't regret getting involved with this amazing ministry. Clean water to people in need. watermission.org/join the team. And we're also presented today by the Sports Spectrum magazine, our quarterly magazine. One of the best things that we do here at Sports Spectrum. Super affordable, perfect for the kids, perfect for the grandkids. You can subscribe today at sportsspectrum.com. And a little exclusive offer for you. As a podcast listener only, we are going to give you 15% off a one-year subscription if you put in the code PODCAST15, PODCAST15. Use the code and subscribe today to a one-year edition of the Sports Spectrum magazine. Makes a great gift, perfect for family members, kids that love Jesus, love sports. It's got devotionals, feature stories. We love the Sports Spectrum magazine. We think you will too. Get 15% off. Use the code PODCAST15 and subscribe today to the Sports Spectrum magazine. And you can do that at sportsspectrum.com.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Sports Spectrum. I am Jason Romano. We are the intersection of sports and faith. It's always great when we can have these conversations about sports, about football today, about coaching, and about Jesus. I love what we get to do. You can check out our website for all of our content, sportsspectrum.com. Articles, devotionals, daily devotionals that you can sign up for, a podcast. We have stories, testimonials, you name it, free resources that you can sign up for every single day and receive, whether it's to your email inbox or just checking out the website over at sportsspectrum.com. And then if you have any feedback, any guest ideas, you know, maybe some thoughts on today's interview with Jamal Singleton from the Eagles. Maybe you have a chapel service or, you know, a gathering and you want Sports Spectrum to be a part of it, man, please reach out. Jason@sportsspectrum.com is my email address. Jason@sportsspectrum.com. We want to serve you. We want to provide the best resources that we can provide to keep pointing people to Jesus in the world of sports. So again, you can email me Jason@sportsspectrum.com. Now, I mentioned Jamal Singleton. He's with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's their assistant head coach. He's also their running backs coach. He's been there since 2021. All you got to do is mention the Eagles, and you know the kind of season that they had last year, going all the way to the Super Bowl with Singleton overseeing the running backs last year. The Eagles' rushing attack played a vital part in each of the team's last two playoff runs, but particularly this past Super Bowl 57 appearance. They rank first in the NFL in rushing yards per game, in rushing touchdowns, and they set franchise records in rushing. During last year's season, they led the league with a team record 32 rushing touchdowns. So you would think the running back's coach, Jamal Singleton, had a lot to do with that. In college, he was a three-year letter winner at running back at Air Force and one of just six players in program history to be elected as a two-time captain. And when you talk to him and when you hear him talk about his journey, you can sense why this guy was a leader, even going all the way back to college. But Jamal is also a follower of Jesus. We actually had a chance to talk to him at the Super Bowl opening night. I have my microphone. We were kind of walking around. I went up to Jamal Singleton and I got about 4 minutes with him. And you really can't go deep into a person's story in 4 minutes. So I asked him a couple questions about, you know, Jesus and his life. I was so impressed with him that I thought, we got to get him back on in the off season. And thank the Lord, we were able to do that. And here we are today in our conversation with Jamal Singleton. I think you're going to really love hearing his story from the Philadelphia Eagles, Jamal Singleton, right now, right here on Sports Spectrum. Take a listen. Jamal Singleton, welcome back to Sports Spectrum. This is a longer conversation that we can have today. We had you for like 5 minutes back at the Super Bowl, so it's good to see you.
Absolutely. Not quite as hectic as it was the last time we talked as well.
It was loud.
Yeah, it was loud. It was crowded.
It was dark.
It was interesting. I think we were up against a railing or something like that. But no, I'm glad to be back and get a chance to talk with you again.
Absolutely. I knew I wanted to have you back on, no matter what happened Super Bowl-wise, just to go in a little bit longer of a conversation, a little bit deeper into your story. So I'm glad that we have you back on today. Let's start with probably where we should start in every conversation, with the Lord. Let's start with Christ. Yeah. How has he been impacting you recently? Like, what's he been impressing on your heart, the Lord, as we talk today here in the spring of 2023?
You know, my faith journey is, I think, probably similar to some. I've always kind of been around faith. You know, my started growing up in my early years. You know, I was in Catholicism, was kind of coming from there. So I've always kind of had a relationship. Well, really, I knew of God was probably a better way to put it. Yeah. And just as I've gotten older, and especially even more recent, probably last 6 or 7 years, you know, I kind of took that next step. And I think it started, I knew the word, I heard the word, I listened to the word, yeah, but I was never a doer of the word. And it was one of those things that I think in the past 6, 7 years, I started listening. And then I started acting. So I started walking in my faith, not just talking, not just hearing. And it really, to be honest, has changed my life, changed my career path, changed kind of the place that I'm at right now. Yeah. And most of it is simply that is, you know, I can read the Bible every day, but if I'm not, you know, putting into practice those things, it's, you know, it's like the sower of the seed. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that it was falling on concrete with me before. Yeah. And now I think it's fallen on fertile land, and I'm starting to use and try to live the ways that Jesus has told us to live. So that's a big part just currently in my lifetime is now I consider myself a doer of the word, and I try to do that every single day and live out my faith, not just listen to it.
So 6, 7 years ago, what happened with whatever you're allowed to share or willing to share? Yeah. What was the pivot moment for you to just decide to go all in?
Well, it was a big transition phase for me, and really kind of a piece of it started before that with the birth of my daughter. Mm-hmm. I've got a 10-year-old, and to be honest, we were a little bit older in our relationship and our marriage when we had her, and you know, we really didn't think we could even have kids. I mean, it was one of those, I like to say, we weren't trying not to have kids, you know, so there was nothing that we were doing. We just decided to put it into God's hands and really kind of thought wasn't going to happen. We weren't going to take the extra steps. We weren't going to do the fertility. We weren't going to do all that. We just felt, you know what, let's put it in God's hands. And if I'm being really honest, it was a very low point in my life and probably a little bit low point in our marriage. Yeah. And God said, you know what, this, I think you guys are ready. I think you guys need to be parents and be fruitful. And he made that. So it was one of those things, we not our miracle baby or anything like that, but it was something that, you know, just came at a time in our lives that we needed that. And yeah, it kind of changed it. And then, you know, it's still, I'm stubborn. I'm a old football head guy. So I'm stubborn. So yeah, okay, I heard you. Thank. And probably really hadn't quite made that next step again. And then as I basically got into the NFL, and that's kind of when it happened. There were some tough times. I went from kind of college playing career was pretty successful, winning. College coaching career was winning. And got to the NFL and didn't win a whole lot.
Yes.
So just in conjunction with that, it was just like, hey, you know what? Maybe you're living for wins instead of living for the Lord. And really kind of made that transition. It is amazing that, you know, I think when he feels you're capable of handling certain blessings, then he gives them to you. And I think that's part of just being sound in your faith and strong in your faith and living out those words. So I don't know, it's kind of a short story long there, but
no,
a lot of things.
I can relate only because we walked through some infertility and trying to wait for our child to be born. And we had our daughter, I do call her my miracle child, when she was born in 2004. She's a lot older now. She's, you know, 19 years old. But I do think something changes in our relationship with God when we become parents. Did you see that? Like becoming a dad and suddenly you can almost see the Father. You can almost see the relationship that he desires to have with us in the way that we can have that relationship with our own kids.
Absolutely. I mean, I know I lied to myself for years and years and years that, you know, I don't need a biological child. I mean, it's just, you know, I can be good and do different things, but it's, I think when you get that, and I told people all the time, it's one of my friends, even when I said, you used to say you didn't want kids. You know? I was like, well, I lied. All right, let's be honest. That was the worst thing I could have ever said. Yeah. And it is, you get that. And then you start to get what that relationship is with a father and a son, father and a daughter. And really you kind of try to live that way throughout when you are a father. And it does, it changes you. It changes your priority in a way that you just don't understand and until it kind of happens. And I was one of those guys that didn't really understand what it meant and what it could mean. And then when it happened, it was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And it's truly been a blessing ever since her birth. And I think a lot of that was just a lot of prayer, and part of being, you know, with father is really open my eyes to what that relationship is that I can have with Jesus and the Lord.
Yeah. How about how that changed you as a coach after you kind of decided to be a doer, right? You said the wins didn't come right away when you got to the NFL, but that's around the same time, it looks like, if I'm doing my math here, that you decided to kind of be all in and be a doer of the word and kind of say, yes, I'm all in, God. What changed for you as far as how you went about coaching and how you saw yourself as a coach? Yeah.
There was a lot of things that I kind of changed. I really kind of put my spiritual life side by side with my fitness life. I was probably in the worst shape of my life that I'd ever been in when my first year in the NFL. And I changed that. I changed how I was eating. I changed music that I was listening to. I became very strict in what I allowed to get into my body. And, you know, I just was going back to the scripture of above all else, called guard your heart.
Yes.
So I started guarding my heart from things. And I think then it opened me up to, you know what? I want to be a servant as a coach. I want to be a servant coach. I want to help whoever the player is, whoever the players are, become the best version of themselves they possibly can. And I felt the only way that I could truly do that was be a great husband, be a great father, and then be a coach to them. And I think they can see through my walk. People are going to listen more to your actions than they ever are to your words. Yeah. And I really tried to change that mindset. And it was fortunate enough at the time to be coaching one of the all-time greats. I was fortunate to coach Frank Gore at the Colts for 2 years and to start off. And I really felt that even during those losses, if I could come in and walk in the same way, not down in the dumps, and be a consistent person when I was with them, it would make me a better coach. And it did. I really do think that because of that, I was able to handle myself that way. A great relationship with the players, you know, doing everything I could to help them succeed. So it was really how my coaching style definitely changed throughout that. Still coaching the same fundamentals, the same techniques, but how I coached them was definitely different.
That's good. He is Jamal Singleton. He's joining us here on Sports Spectrum from the Philadelphia Eagles. Last year was such a special year, obviously. You know, when we met, we were getting ready, or you were getting ready, and I was getting ready to watch it and cover it, and you were getting ready to coach in the Super Bowl. It didn't end the way you wanted, obviously, but I'm curious how long it might have taken, and maybe it was immediately, but how long it might have taken for you to find sort of the gratitude, right, and the blessing within going through last season, even after it didn't end the way that you wanted it to end?
You know, it's... I actually have a story. Imagine that. Yeah. With a story.
Yeah.
So before I got here to the Philadelphia Eagles, I was with the Cincinnati Bengals. And to your point, and just, I don't know, it's just what I didn't feel that's where I was supposed to be. Didn't feel that's where I was called to be. Came up on the end of a contract and decided, you know what? I think we need to make a move. We need to go somewhere else. Decided to do that. Ended up roundabout way, ended up here. And left them. Well, it was basically the very next year that I left the Cincinnati Bengals that the Cincinnati Bengals went to the Super Bowl.
That's right.
So yeah, as you can imagine, there could be a whole world of emotion. Man, I should have stayed. What was I thinking? What had I done? They reached the pinnacle of our coaching profession, and I could have had an opportunity to do it, but I decided to be here. But the amazing thing was there was a huge calm. Like, I wasn't upset. I wasn't distraught. I wasn't like, man, what have I done? Because, I don't know, part of it was because I made that decision through prayer. It wasn't that I just decided we're leaving. It was just a feeling, and I was seeking God at the time to help me with this decision, and felt he was saying, yeah, you're right. It's time to move on. And I'll never forget, I'm in the weight room and our general manager walks in. It's when Cincinnati's doing the Super Bowl. He's like, man, Jamal, do you have any regrets about coming here? And I said, absolutely not. Yeah. I said, if God wanted me there in Cincinnati in that Super Bowl, he would have put me there. That's where I would be. And then lo and behold, literally a year later, mm-hmm. we're playing in the Super Bowl at a place here. So for me, just the blessing came well before the game, mm-hmm. and just the experience of like, you know what? Hey, you know, maybe you're ready to go to the Super Bowl. Maybe you're ready for whatever the blessings that he wanted to give me. And just being able to get to that point, having that calm and truly trusting in God. And at the end of the day, and you know, coaches don't want to say this, but at the end of the day, my victory in this profession is not going to be by the trophies I've won. It's not going to be by how many Super Bowls or Pro Bowl players. It's going to be about the relationship that I've made with the young men that I've been able to coach.
Yeah.
If I can win in that room with my position group and those players, I mean, yes, I want to win the Super Bowl. Yes, I want to get the greatest. But I do know that there's a greater victory out there, and it starts with the young men that I get to work with.
That's beautiful. I know last year was such a special year spiritually for the team, and talking to Pastor Ted Winsley, who's your team chaplain, and he told me in so many ways, I think last year was his first year also mm-hmm. working with the coaches. And so this was, you know, your second year with the team, but I'm just curious what last year was like for you growing spiritually and kind of this breakthrough, as I think Pastor Ted Winsley referred to it as, just in terms of Bible studies. What was that like last year connecting spiritually with the team chaplain, but also among some of your fellow coaches?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, that's part of it. When you coach in the NFL, I think with any football you coach in, it gets tough yeah. to have those days like Sundays. Well, we play games on Sundays.
Yeah.
And it's always awesome when we can have church. So we have our chapel services on Saturday nights before the game, or the night before the game if it's a different day. And then we have our Bible studies on Saturday. So the opportunity to get the word right through Bible study and through a group of guys that they know what you're going through. Right. They're in that same building. You spend more time with your coaches than you do with your family during the season, to be honest.
Yeah.
And just having, you know, Pastor Ted there sharing the word with us daily so we could study that. And then having those evenings where we go to church, I really felt it gave me an opportunity to still connect, you know, to still have that fellowship with players. And it's great. You start to listen to other people talk and kind of where they are in their faith. And you get a feel when those guys are in the room, there's certain conversations that you start to have outside of Bible study and outside of chapel with fellow followers of Christ. So just being able to connect that way. Pastor Ted was awesome this year with the services and, you know, on the road, when we were out on the road, we had some guest speakers every now and then as well. Mm. Just being able to, you know, continue and be, you know, in your faith and in the word, even though you're in a hectic job, it's, you know, you could still get a chance to put God first.
That's good. Did I read that you were born in Turkey? Is that right?
Yes, sir. I was. So I'm a military brat.
Yeah.
So my dad was in the Air Force, retired in 20 years. So I was born in Turkey. I have no recollection of Turkey. We moved when I was very, very young. We moved to England. My mother was British. So we spent about 10 years of my life in England on separate tours. And so I traveled all over the world growing. Then I went to the Air Force Academy for school. So I did my own military stint, and the parallels between coaching and being in the military are so, so similar.
I was going to ask you that, like, it had to have set you up in a way because there's no, you know, the NFL is not for long, right? But for coaches, yeah. It really can be, you know, what's the next job? You've been in three or four different jobs over the past six, 7 years. That's a lot like the military, right? Moving around.
Exactly. I remember as a kid growing up, we'd get that itch at about the 3 year point. We knew we were going to be going somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I've been moving my whole life. my poor daughter, she's 10. She's been to quite a few plays. I was like, well, you're kind of growing up like your dad grew up. Just you stayed stateside the whole time. But it was, and it was a great thing for me. Just I've seen things overseas that, you know, maybe you just see in books. I've lived in places that were way different. So it to me, it was a great experience. It's allowed me, I think, really, when you transition into different staffs. I've been the new kid in school a lot, right? So you come
Absolutely.
and say, how do you make friends? How do you connect with people? And I think that's been a valuable lesson that I've learned through my growing up as a military brat and then my time is in the military and now my time coaching.
Yeah, you played running back in college with Air Force. I'm curious, at what point in that journey did you realize that God was directing your steps towards becoming a coach? Did you know that right when you were done playing that coaching was the next step?
No,
No.
not at all. Not at all. So, like they say, his plan versus your plan. I had a much different plan for my life when I was. So, I was an Air Force guy. I was pilot qualified. I was going to be a pilot. And my whole time at the Air Force Academy, that was going to be after I graduate, boom, pilot training, become a pilot, do all this stuff. That was the goal. So when I first graduated, my first job as a second lieutenant was I got to coach down at the Air Force Academy Prep School, which is right there on campus, and was starting my introductory to flight training. We just learned to fly Cessna. It was just a little intro thing before we went on to our, you know, normal pilot training. Well, I enjoyed flying. I enjoyed it. It was kind of cool, kind of neat, but I fell in love with coaching. And it was just, I was like, I don't know how I can live without football being a part of my life, without this being, I don't see it. So again, lo and behold, I made a pretty drastic change, career change, which I laugh because it literally kind of took an act of Congress to give up my pilot slot, and decide not to do that on the whim and the hope that at some point I may get to coach. There's no guarantee. I had to still had a 5-year Air Force commitment. Was still going to have that. I could be out of the game for 5 or 6 years and never have the opportunity to get back into it. But things just worked out. I spent that first year prep school, fell in love with coaching, knew that's something I definitely wanted to do. Had to change career fields in the Air Force and went did that, and then was fortunate enough to get back to the Air Force Academy. I actually came back as an executive officer, as a glorified administrative assistant for the athletic director. During that time, my head coach was still coaching and kind of finagled a way to get me down on coaching. So I became a military coach for a few years, then was able to get out of the Air Force, stay there at the Air Force Academy, and stay on as a full-time coach and stayed when the new head coach came in. So really, my Air Force career led to my coaching career and all that stuff. So just was thankful it could have went the total opposite direction, but I think, you know, I think this was something I was called and led to do. And I think with God's help, we put some things in my path that made me see, oh, maybe I should go this route. And I did. So he's been very blessed. He's blessed me for quite some time now.
Did you think the NFL was even on the radar at all? Because you were at Oklahoma State for 4 years, then Arkansas, and then the jump to the NFL. I'm curious how, you know, your mindset there going from college to the pros.
You know, there was always a Coach DeBerry at the time, my head coach at Air Force and the guy I coached for, had a really good close relationship with the owner of the Broncos. So we went up there during the offseason, kind of this time period right now, and I got to sit in on the meetings, all that stuff. And I'll never forget, I'm sitting in that meeting room, and I honestly was like, I can't do this. You know, I never played in the NFL and coached, had no ties in the NFL, but I was like, I mean, it's football. I mean, I think I can do this. This isn't much different than what I'm doing at Air Force. Obviously, the system I'm running is different. So I kind of always had in the back of my mind that, hey, maybe that's something I could get into and do it. But you know, it's one of the sayings we have in the NFL is it's harder to get into the NFL than it is to stay in the NFL. And it is. I mean, there's only 32 teams, there's only 32 running back coaches, you know. So that piece is it's very competitive. It's you know, the you know, who knows your work, those type of things. And, you know, a couple opportunities here and there that came up. Another story, of course. So the Bill Walsh Minority Fellowship they have, I had tried for multiple years to get on. I knew a couple people in the NFL and didn't. So I had a friend at the Colts that I tried to get on there. So, and I still remember, I still have the rejection letter from Chuck Pagano just saying, hey, appreciate your interest, but no, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, literally the very next year, I'm the running back coach at the Indianapolis Colts. So I couldn't work an internship, but I was able to get a
under Coach Pagano, right?
Under Coach Pagano. So like everything, that's why I said, hey, you know what? Don't ever give up. I've been told I can't be an intern, but then I was given a job.
Did you show him that letter, by the way?
I did it, but I did tell him about that story. I did tell him that, hey, you know, y'all could have had me last year and just been there. But no, but that was it. And I mean, just getting a chance to get into the NFL and coaching, you talk about my military background. I think it's a lot of those things have helped me be able to stay, you know, in the NFL for the amount of time that I have. Not that it's come without its bumps and bruises, but
sure,
you know, I think it's a lot of it's been a great ride, and from no wins to being for a lot of tough years. I mean, first year in the NFL, we went 500, and then I didn't have a winning season again until I got to the Eagles. So there's a lot of pruning going on in my life and my coaching. And you know, you get here and you got a chance to make a run at the big one, and hopefully get an opportunity sometime to do it again.
Let me ask you about being an ambassador for Christ, and I'll explain what I mean by that in a second. So I was talking to a few people. We've talked to Coach Dungy on this show, Tony Dungy. We've had Kirk Cousins, a few other guys who are very vocal about their faith. And I said to them, is there a way to separate your faith when you go out on the field as a coach or as a player? Or is that something you're taking with you? Because the Bible says, you know, in 2 Corinthians 5, I think it is, that we are ambassadors for Christ, right? It means we represent him everywhere we go. How has that been for you to be a representative? Are you, you know, when you're on the field or it's in the middle of a game or even in practice, right? Do you understand like that and kind of take a, you know, I guess take that seriously enough to carry with you when you're on the field or kind of say, you know what, that's just that. And when that's done, I'll come back to, you know, trying to be the best representative I can.
You know, no, I mean, I think at the end of the day, coaching is what I do. A follower of Jesus is who I am. And at the end of the day, you don't separate who you are just because of the job or the title that you have. And for me, it becomes that I want people to know just by like my interactions with players, not using profanity and not the just how I can communicate with a player. And I think what happens is when I can communicate and show mutual respect to a person, to another young man, they can and learn and they get better. It just kind of goes to show there's a lot of different ways to achieve something. There's a lot of different ways to get kind of what you're asking for. And I feel like leadership and inspiration and those things are way more important than fear. And I don't never want to be a coach that coaches by fear. I want to be a coach that motivates, that inspires, and shows them. And I want them to know that I'm here to help you become the best you can possibly be. And that doesn't change whether I'm on the football field, whether I'm in the meeting room, whether we're out and about on a trip. I think that becomes real important. I mean, how hypocritical would it be for me to talk a certain way but not live that way? And you know, unfortunately, I've lived that. I've been that guy.
Of course.
That was, you know, sitting in church and all that, but wasn't living that way. So for me, there is no separation. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. And I have my beliefs and, you know, continue to try and read the word every single day and try to be better than I was the day before. And sometimes I get an L, sometimes I get a dub, whichever way it works out. But each day trying to be the best I can be. But there's no separating from that. I'm the same person everywhere, just how I approach things. I always want people to say, man, you know what? He was always respectful. He always treated me right. Man, you know what? He talked about his faith a few times too. Maybe that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it that I want what he has. And hopefully what I have is Jesus in my life.
Has that happened? Have those moments happened where you were like, Coach, they were like, Coach, what's going on with you? Like, why are you not this way? Why are you different? Have you had moments where a guy's come up to you or even a fellow coach and said, what you got going on over there?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, they know. I mean, it's for me, it's the consistency piece. I'm that same guy every time. And they, you know, young men know that they come and talk to me and they come and approach me in that way. And they just, I think just like I said, people are gonna, listen to your actions way more than they're gonna listen to your words. So I'm trying to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. And it helps, I think, young men. I've had other, other players that talk about their faith too. And that to me, that's a huge part. When you're sitting one-on-one with a guy and he's talking about, his faith journey, and you can give them information about that. Again, I'm trying to help build young men. People think, oh, you're in the NFL. These grown men, they got family. I mean, especially in the running back room, I got guys that are 21, 22 years old that left college early. They're still young. They're still trying to figure out their lives. Me at 21, come on, it's the same thing. It's and it's just helping these guys that, sometimes they get put on a pedestal and they're different, and they can't live a normal life sometimes. They can't go out to the restaurant because they'll get, bombarded with fans and all that stuff. So they're fighting a whole different type of battle that maybe I like myself didn't have to experience. But any information I can do to help them, that's beyond football. At the end of the day, it's beyond football.
One of the guys we talked to at the Super Bowl who I was so impressed with was Boston Scott. And I know he's
Absolutely.
back, and I could not get over, I was so impressed with not just how strong his faith was, but how poised he was. And I'm thinking as I'm talking to you, I'm like, I can see a reflection a little bit of a younger version of you. I don't know if you see that, but what an impressive young man that guy is.
Oh, he is. I mean, and how do you not love Boston Scott? I don't care. I don't care who you are. And it is, he's a man of faith and grown, and he's navigating his way, and his journey hasn't always been just how he's been an underdog. He's been counted out, and he just continues to work and continues to fight and continues to follow his faith. So no, it's awesome having him in the room and, having conversations at times that go well beyond football, and that's part of it. And that's what makes this job fun. Is it's yeah, it's so much more than just football. It's so much more than just X's and O's on the football field. Just the amount of time that we spend and can spend and build relationships with our players is the best part of coaching.
As we wind down, what you just said there might lead into the answer for my next question, but the expectations of a team that goes to the Super Bowl the next year is always the highest, right? And it's like, all right, we got to get back. And the only way we can get better ultimately is to win the Super Bowl. How do you stay humble, right? I mean, we talk about that. That word humility is mentioned a lot in scripture. It's also mentioned a lot in the sports space. So how do you stay humble? How do you keep your players humble with all the expectations that come, the way of the Philadelphia Eagles, as they should, right? Because you guys had such a great year last year, and obviously the offseason has been pretty good too. Lots of great picks in the draft. How do you stay humble and keep your players humble and eyes on the prize at the same time?
It really, you go back to what got you there the first time. And you didn't get there the first time by just not showing up for work because we got good players, we got that. It's a daily step. It's your walk in faith. It's a daily thing that you have to do. So we can sit here and talk about how great we are, but if you don't put the work in, the NFL is a humbling place. And you can find that real quick in, and there's so many different examples of
Well, look at the
that with
Rams,
teams.
right? I'll just say that from last year to the year before, the
It
Rams.
is. And year in, you talk even as coaching staff, coaches that are in the Super Bowl 2 years later, they're not. They're out of a job. It's not. And it goes back really, as I was talking about with your walk, you have to show up every single day. And there's a step-by-step process every single day, every single game leading up to that. Because when you seriously look back at the work that you did to get there the first time, you've got to do it again, but even more. Because at the end of the day, you mentioned it, we didn't finish. We didn't get the win. So there's obviously room for improvement, obviously room that we have to do it. And I think the guys that aren't humble, they get humbled real quick because it only takes one play, one game, or something like that. But it is. It's just focusing on today. Let tomorrow be tomorrow. We'll get there. But let's focus on today. What can we do to get 1% better today? What can we do to help our team win down the road? But if you start looking for it, and I know it's a cliche,
No,
but
but
you
it's
have
real,
it's one
right?
game at a time, it's one day at a time, it's all of that. And as soon as you start looking past those things that you need to get done right in front of you got no chance, not in this league.
Yeah, that's great and very well said by Jamal Singleton from the Eagles. Let me ask you the last question here. It's kind of a question we've been asking a lot lately to many of our guests. Gratitude, right? And being thankful. I think that's a great trait to have. Paul talks about that a lot in the epistles in the New Testament. But for you, Jamal Singleton, what are you most thankful for when you think about where God has you today and, you know, where you are in your life?
I don't even know where to begin. I'll be honest with you. I feel like I'm at a point now where I don't deserve the blessing I've gotten. Like, I just truly feel like, you know, I've got a great marriage. I've got a great daughter. I've got an older daughter as well that's out there too, that's dealing with life. I've got a nice place to live. I've got a good job. I love where I work. There's so many things that I'm so thankful for. And you kind of bring that up. It's, you know, the gratitude, that was one of the things probably in my faith that was the biggest. And I don't know if this is happening, but the tithe was such a, you talk about when I was younger, how I fought that, like, so that's Old Testament. Oh, that's not true. He's not 10. I give 10% of my time. And I had a million excuses of how I was going to handle my finances and why I didn't have to do that. And it's when the change in my life, it's funny. It's like my move, my career got better when I did something simple. And you think about it and it's like, you look at the Bible. What is the one thing he says? Test me on it. Go ahead. Try. Go ahead.
Yep.
Well, I did. I tested him on it and I started being faithful in my tithe and I started, you know, being generous and showing gratitude for what God has given me. When I finally came to the point that, you know what, it's not mine.
Right.
When I finally learned that none of it is mine. So why can't I give 10% of my income to the person who at the end of the day gave it all to me? Hmm. He's asking for 10. I can keep the 90. And I can still keep that. So when you talk about the blessings, it feels like just where I went, the more I was faithful in my tithe, the more I was faithful in my giving to others, it really did. It just, I felt like my prosperity has gotten better because of that. Didn't start out that way because, man, tithe. I didn't have a giving heart.
Yeah.
But I was trying to do it. When I finally learned that, you know what? This isn't mine. This is his. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Please take 10%. I'm going to give you more than that.
That's right.
I think that's when really so many things to be thankful for. But I feel like that's a big part of it. When I started to truly give and have a giving heart and give to the Lord what he told me I should give to the Lord. And again, being more of a doer of the word, not just a reader of the word, I took that to heart and continue to do that this day. And, you know, it's something that has changed my life. It really has. I started tithing not when I was where I am financially now, but I've continued to do that. And it's like you say, it's amazing what he does with that 10% that you give, the 90, how he blesses what you have. I can't thank him enough for just giving me that guidance, giving me, still knowing like, hey, you're not doing this right. Hey, you're not doing this right. And for me to finally listen and become a doer of the word, I just can't be thankful enough.
Well, that's a great way to finish as we come full circle. That was the first answer. And the last answer is, man, being a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Really good stuff here, Jamal. Thanks for coming back on the show. Really appreciate it. Glad we got to spend a little more time and get to hear your story. And hopefully maybe I'll get down to a game this year and come down and see you guys. I'm in Connecticut, so maybe I'll come down and watch you guys play a game. And but either way, all the best to you. And maybe I'll see you next year at the Super Bowl. Who knows?
Awesome. Thank you. And beyond, thank you guys for what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, for Sports Spectrum, just the fact that you put it out there, that for people to see that, look, there's coaches in the NFL, there's players in the NFL that are walking in their faith. You know, I texted my wife and I texted my pastor, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
At the draft, the first three draft picks mentioned the Lord and they talked about the Lord in it. And it's like faith is there. People are there and you're not alone. If you think that you're the only, you're not. There's people in every walk of life that are walking this walk with the Lord just the same as you. And you guys do a phenomenal job bringing those people to the forefront. Say, look, you're looking for, you want somebody to ally, you want to look at somebody that can kind of show you how to do it. Hey, this person's in the NFL and they believe in the Lord. Hey, this person's in this realm and they believe in the Lord. So to be honest, thank you, because I watch it. And I get motivated when I see other coaches and other followers of Christ share the word, and they still have a love for their sport as well. So thank
Yeah.
you guys. It's awesome what y'all are doing, and I'm just thankful to be a part of it.
Super grateful to have Jamal Singleton here on Sports Spectrum. He was awesome. Such a great guy. Love that he's a fan of Sports Spectrum, but love the humility that he has. Love the faithfulness, being a doer of the word, the humility of following God and really living out his faith as a coach. I was just so impressed with Jamal Singleton, and he's a guy that you can root for sure. Even if you're not an Eagles fan, you can be a Jamal Singleton fan for sure. And I appreciate him coming back on Sports Spectrum and kind of going deeper into his story. So that was awesome. And we wish him nothing but the best. We thank you for tuning in as well and really appreciate your support for Sports Spectrum. The best way to support us, and I'm not even asking for anything financially, but you can go to the website, sportspectrum.com, each and every day and just check out our content, check out the articles, sign up for our daily devotional that can come to your email inbox, check out our podcast network of shows, and then share those, right? Tell someone about Sports Spectrum and let them know that we exist. Let them know if they love Jesus, they love sports, this is the place to be. But ultimately, we're just trying to be a resource for people to use to point others to Jesus. This is our platform, right? Jamal Singleton's platform is to be a head coach or an assistant head coach in the NFL and point people to Jesus. My job when I was at ESPN as a producer was to do the best job as I could as a producer, but ultimately to point people to Jesus. And that is what Sports Spectrum is all about. So if we can be a resource for you, that's what we desire. So again, sportspectrum.com is the website. Subscribe and follow this podcast, and then tell someone about Sports Spectrum. We hope you'll join us next time for another episode here on the show. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and please do stay safe. We will see you next time here on Sports Spectrum.